transition to looking at the Word of God this morning, I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be just in verse 19, and actually just in part of verse 19 this morning. But that's why I say verse 19a, but you can turn your Bibles there, Matthew 28, verse 19. We're continuing our study on the Great Commission, and I originally thought I could do it in four parts, but it's going to turn into five parts, but that's okay. There's a lot jam-packed in here, and so this morning we're going to be looking at the first part of verse 19, which is really sort of like the main command that Jesus gives to his disciples, and therefore really to us as well as his disciples. But to get the Great Commission on our minds, I want to begin by reading it, starting back on verse 18. So verses 18 to 20 is what I'll read. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As you think about our church, what are we here for? What is the purpose and mission of the church? Because there's different thoughts about this in our day. There's different thoughts, meaning there's some who think that the church is about being entertained and about simply having a good time. And so they will spend lots of money and they will spend lots of effort creating this enjoyable environment, this enjoyable experience, so that people are attracted and then come back once again. Others think that the church is supposed to be like a social club. So we meet together, socialize, do some good in the community, and then call it a day. They even try to legitimize this idea by saying, well, look at all the good that we're doing here in the community. But is that our main purpose? Still others believe that the church is meant to simply meet some felt needs in people and make them feel a little bit better, scratch that religious itch in people, and are any of these our true purpose for being here? What about this? Are we here just because we have always just done so, right? Are we supposed to just do this because that's what good Americans do? They go to church and they have churches. Is that our purpose? Is that why we are here? Or maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what, I don't know. I don't know what the main purpose is. Well, what do you think? Let me tell you, it's not about what you think. It's about what Christ has said. And here in the Great Commission, Jesus tells us. He tells us what our primary mission as a church is to be. And it is, of course, not to simply entertain people or simply to socialize, which, of course, socializing is a part of it, but it's not to meet felt needs. It's not to merely scratch that religious itch. It's definitely not to just do this just because it's the thing to do. We are here ultimately for the glory of God, but we glorify God by making disciples. Because here is Jesus right before he ascends into heaven, and he gives some final instructions to his disciples. When you think about when someone gives their final instructions or commands before they leave, it's usually things are important, right? And so you are leaving for a big trip to leave your family, and you give them some things. You need to do this. Make sure you do that, you know, and this or that. And you make sure to emphasize what they need to keep in mind as you are now going to be leaving. And here Jesus gives his sort of final vital command to his disciples before leaving, of what they are to be doing. What are they to be about? What is their marching order? What is their mission now as he leaves? And it is this: go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That is really the main command here in the Great Commission. There are, of course, supporting things and things that add on and expand upon that, but this is the main instruction. And by saying this, he's showing us first that we are to be on a mission. We are to be on a mission. Have you ever been sent on a mission? Maybe you're sent on a mission by your employer, says, okay, you need to go do this. Or maybe for you, you were in the military and you were sent on literal missions. And so you know what it is like to be sent on a mission. You had an important task. You had an assignment that you were to do. But of course, a mission isn't only reserved for the military, because really, a mission is any important task, any important assignment. So for you, maybe as a kid, your parents sent you on a mission, right? And their mission was go to the store and buy bread or buy milk, you know, bread or milk. It was usually one of those, right? Bread or milk. You were sent on a mission. Go and buy milk. That mission was to be your focus. And so as a kid, your mind had to be laser focused on this mission of accomplishing that task. Because you knew as a kid, there would be many temptations that came along the way on your mission to go and get milk. You go along and you're riding your bike or you're walking to the store. Let's just say it's a store down the street. And what are some temptations? You see your neighbors. They're out playing. And you have a temptation to go join them. I want to join them. I don't want to go get milk. I want to join them. You have that temptation. As a kid, you also had that temptation to turn around and because you got tired. I'm tired of going this long way. I'm tired of riding my bike. Or even could just be distracted by other things. You can engross by a bug you see on the ground and you forget what you're going to do, right? And as a kid, you can just get distracted easily. But your mission was to go and buy milk. And you had to have focus and courage and perseverance to go get that milk. You had to have courage because sometimes there's that dog in the neighboring yard and it would sometimes chase you down the street. I've had this happen to me when I was a kid, right? The scary dogs down the street. And you had to have courage. You had to have perseverance, focus. And so also as disciples of Jesus, we have a mission. Our minds, our hearts, our will, really all of us must be laser focused on our mission of making disciples. And so we can't be distracted by other things, even if they aren't bad in and of themselves. We can't get tired and give up. We can't be engrossed with lesser things that we forget what we're called to do. We have to have focus and we have to have courage. We have to have perseverance to go and make disciples because we know Jesus commanded us to do this. And so what is the first thing that Jesus says about our mission? He first says, we must go. We must go. So I want you to think back right to what I was just talking about, that illustration of going and buying milk. A vital part of buying milk in that day, now today is different because you can get it delivered to your doorstep or things like that. But think about when you're a kid, you had to actually go to the store. A big part was going. You have to actually go out the door. You have to go down the street. You have to go that mile, whatever it is. And so the mission couldn't be accomplished. It wouldn't be accomplished without going to buy the milk because you had to go to the store. It wouldn't just come to you like in today's time. But you must go to it. It's at the store. And so our mission involves going. It doesn't involve sitting back. It involves going. And so you can't sit back and do nothing and accomplish this task. You can't remain idle. You cannot be lazy and make disciples. By saying to go, he's saying you must be about this. And so the implication is what? That new disciples aren't going to just plop into your lap left and right. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional to make disciples. I've heard of some Christians talk about witnessing in the workplace, and they say, well, once someone asks me about Jesus, of course I'll tell them about them. Well, that's not right. For the most part, people aren't going to approach you. They may here and there, but for the most part, people won't approach you. You have to go to them. You have to go and talk about Jesus. And so by telling us to go, what is Jesus saying? He's saying there's people out there, but you must go to them with the message. There are potential future disciples, and we have a part in playing in reaching them, but a vital part is going. It's going. And so that means, the going means that they may be at your workplace. You have to go there. They may be at the grocery store. They may be down the street. They may be walking downtown. They may be at the barber. Whatever it may be, there are people out there, but you must go to them. So you think about going, it means you have to be active, intentional, mission-minded, going with purpose. And so this means, you know, we're not going to be active in making disciples here at church if we're only about just making it by, just maintaining the status quo. We are not going to be making disciples. We have to be intentional. We have to be on mission. We can't be about keeping the things the way they are. We have to be about keeping the Great Commission. That is our goal. That is our mission. So we must go, and guess what? As you think about going, going opens you up to possible risk. Going opens you up to possible discomfort and pain. Any time that you step outside of your door and go somewhere, there is risk involved. There is. Going involves risk. And so that means that going, we may meet some uncomfortable situations in life. Going means we're going to be stretched. We're going to go through some hardships because there's a risk of rejection. There's a risk of being mocked. The risk of being misunderstood and many more things. And so if I'm honest with you, if we as a church become even more intentional, more mission-minded, we will be opening ourselves up to more discomfort, pain, and stretching moments. We will. Because that's a part of going. That's a part of being intentional and putting yourself out there. But going also opens you up to new possibilities. It opens you up to new and exciting things. It opens you up to potential great rejoicing. Because going means we get to see God use us in a new person's life. Going means we play a part in God's great work among people that we haven't even met yet. Going means that we get to be a part of God's rescue mission in the world, reaching people where they are, pointing them to the one who can rescue them out of death and darkness. And so there's nothing more important and lasting. There's nothing more amazing than being used by God to reach people in the world for Jesus. But really, ultimately also, going means we're going to be obeying. Going means obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He has commanded us, go, therefore, and make disciples. And so going means we're going to be obeying. Because if we want to just make it by, if we want to just keep the status quo, if we want to just sit back in safety, comfort, and ease, we're going to be sitting back in disobedience to Christ. Because He said to go, to be active, to be intentional, to do this. I think about Paul, and great example of a mission-minded guy. He's always thinking about, okay, where do I go next with the gospel? Okay, who do I talk to next to encourage and to grow? He's definitely, if there's somebody who is definitely not about just making it by, it was Paul. Everything was about the mission. It was about making disciples, whether making new ones or growing, maturing current ones. He was about it. Jesus commanded us to go, and so we dare not take this lightly. But we, with renewed motivation, must be intentional about making disciples. And so I don't want to personally nor corporately as a church disobey our Lord. And if we are truly Bible people, Bible believers, sitting under the authority of God's Word, we need to be serious about what Jesus says here. We need to be intentional about what Jesus says here. We need to be motivated and mission-minded about this. And so are we serious about it? Are you serious about what Christ has said? And if so, what needs to change? But the next thing that we see about the mission is not only to we must go, but we must make disciples. Now, as you think about this, it's easy to just throw around the phrases or words or lingo and things like that. It's easy to just say, okay, make disciples, okay, but what does that mean? Right? What does it actually mean to make disciples? We're commanded to go. I just talked about that. But what does it actually mean, the command to make disciples? We have to go back down to what is a disciple. Start there. What is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus, meaning they are someone who adheres to and follows Christ, his teachings, his way of life. So that essentially, a disciple is a student, a learner of Christ. They shape their beliefs and how they live after Christ. They seek to listen. They seek to obey. And therefore, it entails allegiance to Christ. Allegiance to Christ as Master and Teacher and Lord. And so when we make disciples, we are really, as disciples, we are calling others to do what we did. And what did we do? We acknowledged and saw who Christ was, responded in faith, and now we seek to obey and live after what he has said. So consider what Jesus did when he made his original disciples. What did he do? He called them to himself. They responded in faith. They strove to follow him, listen to him, and obey him. And you think about the original disciples, their lives were never the same. Their lives were never the same once they made that choice to, I'm going to follow Jesus. He's called me. Follow me. What am I going to do? If they followed and their lives were never the same. And for us now, we call people, not to ourselves, we call people to follow Jesus, to respond to him, the same one that we are following. It's sort of this image of picture Jesus walking and we're walking behind him and we're trying to mold our lives in accordance with what he says and what he does. And as we're following him, really, we're calling out joyously to people, come and follow Jesus as well. Follow him. It's worth it. Be a disciple. He will change your life. That is really what we do as followers and disciples of Jesus. That's the picture. So as you can see, when you follow Jesus, you have a new identity. You are a disciple of Jesus. And so we can say, I'm a follower of Christ. And this is not just a side thing. This is not just a little aspect of my life. It's not like someone saying, I'm a basketball player. I'm a word worker. No, this is my whole way of life is now changed. It is morphed. It is shaped. It is governed by Christ. So many modern day Christians are simply cultural Christians. And a big part of it is because they do not see themselves as their primary identity is a follower of Jesus whose life is to be shaped by him. But instead, they see themselves as I'm something else with a little bit of Jesus sprinkled in. And there may be even some in this room who think that way, who believe that way, where church is to you this nice little side thing, this nice little way to get involved in the community, this nice little way to socialize and meet new people and mingle with people. Or maybe it's a cultural thing where it's a nice thing to do on a Sunday is to go to church. But that is not being a disciple of Jesus. And we must throw that idea in the garbage bin of past wrong thoughts. Because that's not what being a disciple is. Because it changes your whole identity. Where he now is my master. He governs my thoughts, my actions, my priorities, my values. He changes my worldview, my way of life. Paul says to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, really this transforming work and renewal in my mind because I'm a follower of Jesus. And so when Jesus tells us to make disciples, He is not saying to make mere church attenders. He is not saying make mere religious-looking people or make Christians in name only. He is telling us to make disciples in all of what that word disciple means. But now the question is, where are we to make disciples? Well, he says, make disciples of all nations. And he's showing us that Christianity isn't just for one little group of people and that's it. Everyone else is barred. It's not like it's only for Jews or only for white Americans or some ethnic group or country and that's it. It's for all nations and therefore all peoples. The mission field is the whole world. Christianity is not supposed to be this little regional thing. It's a global thing. Even now, you think about now in our day and age, we are witnesses of what happened, right? We read in God's Word how it started. Christianity started with this little group of Christians after Jesus ascended. Think about how small that group of people was. And now, Christianity has spread to really every region. Not every people group at this point, but every, you could say, region, every part of the world, you could say. And they say now there's over 2 billion Christians worldwide. It started out so small, and now look at it spread. We are witnesses of disciples making disciples. And so Jesus desires people from all nations to follow him. And so that means we don't exclude anyone. As we're making disciples, we don't exclude anyone, meaning we don't say, oh, that guy's not going to turn to Christ. Let's not even try. No, we don't do that. We don't say, oh, I'm not going to share the gospel with that guy. Just look at him. I mean, look at his background. Look what he looks like. No, we don't think that way. Instead, we witness to people from all walks of life and people from all ethnicities and countries and circumstances. You think about as you go through life, you're going to meet lots of different people, different beliefs and backgrounds and all of that as you go through life. You think about even in America, think about America and the melting pot that America really is and how you could, through your life, you could meet so many different people. You know, you could meet a Muslim, you could meet an atheist, an agnostic, a Buddhist, a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness. You could meet a homeless person, a guy who just got out of jail, a person who'd been divorced for 4 years, a person who used to be on drugs, a person who's currently on drugs. You could meet so many different people. The list could go on and on, but no matter who they are, they need Christ. They need they need to be a disciple. We are to make disciples of all people. And so we don't just exclude anybody or limit the areas that we go, but really we're open to go anywhere. And so I know that most of us aren't called to go to faraway countries, though some of us will, right? There may be someone, you never know, there may be someone sitting in this room today who someday is going to become a missionary in a faraway land. You don't know that. You don't know if that will happen or not. It could be. I remember in college, I was helping out in the youth group there in a church down in Florida, and there was this couple that helped in the youth group as well. And, you know, just going on like normal. And all of a sudden, one day, they come in and they share how God has burdened them and called them to be missionaries to Ireland. And a couple years down the road, that's where they were, church planting in Ireland, across the ocean, thousands of miles away. You never know what God will do in your life or someone else's life in this room. Could you be one of those who do go to one of those faraway places, to another nation? And I believe that that is something that each of us should at least be willing to be open to. At the very least, be willing to say, Lord, if you called me there, I would be willing to go. Not that he necessarily will, but I'm willing, Lord, if you called me, then I'm willing to go wherever you say, whatever you lead me to do. Now, of course, I know that some of you aren't called to do that, but we can help reach those countries in other ways, right? Of course, we pray, but we also partner with missionaries who can go to those places. So you think about we as a church and and we partner with missionaries in Africa, in Spain, in Vanuatu, in Papua New Guinea, and more. There's many more. We support mission organizations that reach hard-to-reach places through different ways, whether it be aviation or satellite TV or things like that. We support missionaries like that. And so what a blessing to be able to partner with, pray for, financially support those who are faithfully reaching these faraway countries that we aren't reaching. And we do our part here, of course. We do our part here by giving and praying, but also we do our part by reaching our community. By reaching our community here in Clearfield and Clearfield County, reaching people that are here. And I was thinking, you never know, because you never know as we're reaching people here in Clearfield, could it be that someone who is saved, that we lead to Christ, that they become a missionary in a faraway land? What amazing, glorious thing that would be. Christians think globally, not just locally. And so we remember that really Christ has called us to make disciples of all nations. And so we don't ignore other nations. We care about them. We love them. We want to see them reach for Christ. And so we do what we can, whether it be going, whether it be partnering and praying. And yet through it all, we also have ready feet. We're prepared to go if God called us to do that. And so as you think about what Jesus calls his disciples here to do, he's really showing us that disciples are to make disciples. Disciples are to make disciples. And so as you think about what Jesus is saying, he's showing us that you don't just become a disciple and then that's the end of the story. Right? He's showing us you become a disciple who then goes and makes other disciples. And so really, we are multipliers. We are reproducers. The number of disciples is only supposed to grow and expand and multiply more and more as time goes on. So let's just start with a low number. Let's just say that each of us in the next year made one disciple each. Okay, just one. Think about that. That's now double us right there. That's double. But now let's say we did that year after year after year. That's a lot of disciples if you really start adding it up. But yet that's not the whole story, because that's us reaching people. But you think when we make disciples, what are those disciples supposed to do? Reach their own, make their own disciples, right? And so it's supposed to be this growing and growing and multiplying thing. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be this beautiful thing that just grows more and more and more and more followers, and those that impacts more people, that impacts a community, that impacts the world as we're influencing and impacting more and more people as disciples are made more and more. And so really every disciple is to be a discipler. So none of you who are disciples in this room are exempt from this. Like, do we realize that? Each of us, as disciples, are called to make disciples. Because disciples make disciples. That's what Jesus is showing us. Disciples make disciples, and they make more disciples. And so the question is, are you making disciples? But sadly, I fear that this is lost in much of present-day American Christianity, because what happens is it becomes about cruising along and going through the motions and about so many other different things that can distract us. They may be good in and of themselves, but they distract us. They turn us away from our mission, whether it be all these busyness of programs and entertainment and feel-good messages and events. But we must get back to the foundational mission, the foundational basic mission of making disciples. So as an individual, as a church, we need to continually evaluate ourselves. We need to be continually asking ourselves, am I making disciples? Continually asking about our church. Are we making disciples as a church? Because imagine the difference it would make if we all were more intentional about this mission. Because you would live with this mission in mind. And your life would be shaped by this mission. But imagine the difference it would make in the life of our church if we're intentional all the time about this mission, because it would lead to action. It would lead to making an impact. We would truly go. We would truly not just simply sit back. So I want you to imagine what the church, our church, could become if we all together, it can't just be one or two of us, if we all together were all in. Like, I'm all in for making disciples. Each of us is, hey, I'm all in for this mission. Jesus has called me to this mission. Jesus has called us to this mission as well. We're all in. Imagine each of us as we go through our week, our jobs, or during our errands, or whatever we're doing, we are intentionally trying to reach people for Jesus. Not just one or two, but each of us. Imagine if each of us, through our week, we were intentional. We're taking up the opportunities. We're creating these ways to reach people, and we're intentional about that. Just think of the lives reached for Christ. Think of the difference over time. Think of the possible new faces we could see here. Imagine if we all came together and we're so passionate about this mission that out of that passion, it just grows and flows through the way that we think and the way that we talk, where we say, hey, can you pray for me to boldly talk to my coworker about Christ? Or I got to share the gospel with my family member the other day and the seed was planted, but please pray for God to do a miracle in their heart. Or maybe it's, I have this great backyard. Hey guys, what do you think? How can I make disciples using this resource? Or maybe it's, this is my situation with this grocery worker. I see them all the time, but I can't think of a way to kind of break the ice. Do you have any thoughts, guys? Can you help me in any way? Like, if each of us were intentional about this, that means even some of us may even be saying, I don't feel equipped for this. Can you help me in some way? Hey, I want help. Please give me resources. Can you meet with me one-on-one? Can we have a class on this? I want to do better. When it comes to us corporately as a church, we'd be evaluating everything in light of this mission more and more. Where we'd be even evaluating our budget, asking how much of our money is being used to make disciples. What could we do with these extra funds over here to make disciples? We'd be evaluating our services and our values and our priorities and our ministries and our efforts in light of Christ's great commission. We'd be thinking, are we doing this? Like, how could we do better? How could we be more intentional? How could we pool our resources and use our efforts and our time towards this mission even more? That's what it looks like to be mission-minded. As you can see, it shapes how you talk. It shapes how you think and how you're always evaluating and how you're acting in your life. It leads you to have a mission in mind. And so as disciples of Jesus, we have a mission. We have a purpose from Christ. We are called. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. And so in obedience to Christ, we must do this. Jesus commanded us. And so this is not something to be taken lightly. It is not optional. It's not a take it or leave it thing. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples. And so it is a command, but what a privilege. What a privilege as well to think that Jesus could have chosen a different way. I mean, he's God. He could have come up and created a different way to get this done. But what has he done? He chose us. As we learned in prior weeks, imperfect disciples who often messes and just clinging to the grace of Christ, he chose us based on his authority, his cosmic, amazing authority. He chose us to make more and more disciples. What a joy. What a joy to know. What an honor. What an honor to think that we get to play a part in leading others to Jesus and getting to see the work of God in their lives. That we get to see Jesus change their lives. What a privilege to serve God, to see Him at work. The more and more I pastor, the more and more privilege I see myself is I get a first row seat to the work of God in people's lives. And guess what? You don't have to be a pastor to experience that either. You as a disciple, as a Christian, get a first row seat into seeing God work, of course, in your own life, but in other people's lives. In your spouse's life, in your child's life, in your aunt or uncle, or whoever it may be, that coworker that doesn't know Christ now, but you could see them turn to Christ. To that new believer, you get to see them morph and change from a baby believer who doesn't really know much, and that is normal. They're a new believer, to then being mature and making their own disciples, and even seeing someone like that become a missionary or do this or do that for the Lord. What a privilege. Do we realize this? There's nothing like that feeling of knowing that I simply pointed someone to Jesus and their life is never the same. It's like I didn't do anything spectacular. I was just a vessel. I was just used by God to just speak the truth, what God has said, who Christ is and the good news of Jesus and the truth. I was used. And God did the work. What does Paul say? Hey, someone plants, someone waters, God gives the growth. And that is what we are, and that's what we get to experience. Is we get to see people impacted for eternity. And so we do not shy away from this mission. We do not shy away from it because we not only be disobeying Christ, but we would be missing out on a tremendous blessing. A tremendous blessing we'd be missing out. And so we are to go and make disciples. May we be about that mission. May it be about that purpose. And may it shape how we think and live. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have called us to your mission of making disciples. Thank you so much for that privilege and that honor. Lord, it is a great blessing to be used by you. And I just pray that we would step up and be intentional, as you have called us to, that we would be active and intentional and mission-minded as we think about even just life here in Clearfield. Lord, help us to be mission-minded as we think about how can we reach Clearfield. We have to start there. This is our as a church, our mission field here. Those in Clearfield, those in Clearfield County and areas like that. And we partner with, of course, bigger or faraway lands, missionaries there. But Lord, help us to think about here. Help us to each in our individual lives to be intentionally sharing about Jesus and looking for those opportunities and using our resources to reach people. Help us as we as a church, as we corporately pursue this, that we would remain focused and faithful, that we will remain courageous and persevering as we look to do this mission that you have called us to do through your grace. And I just pray that you'd help us to do that as we need your power and your strength. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.